Rebbetzin Weinberg, Zichrono Levracha, in many of your campus tours, in the days when feminism was really taking off, she would be asked, why can't a woman be an Orthodox rabbi? And she would answer, without batting an eyelash, I'm an Orthodox rabbi. And what a rabbi she was. And to begin with, she was married to Reb Noach. To most of you, Reb Noach is a legend. Truth is, he was a legend to us too. In the early years of marriage, he was learning day and night, literally. He lived on no doze. He slept 3 hours a night. And the Rebbetzin took care of everything. And then when he moved on, he was busy traveling the world, raising money to save the Jewish people. For so much of the time, she was a single parent to Beliai and Hara, a nice-sized family of characters. I mean, you can't be children of Rav Noach and not be characters. And for that matter, of the Rebbetzin either. So between her husband and the family, I mean, that should have been overwhelming enough. But that was nothing. She had to teach. The way I got to Aish, for those of you that never heard the story, was I was studying at the Mir. It was Gan Eden. Get a message one day. Rebbetzin Weinberg wants to speak to you. I'd heard of Reb Noach. In fact, my first Yomim Noroim in the Mir was actually the year that Reb Noach opened Aish, and he came with the first group of Talmidim to daven in the Mir. The Rebbetzin I never really heard of. Read about her in the Rolling Stone article. So I went over. And Rebbetzin Weinberg says to me, I'm opening a seminary. You're teaching halacha. You're getting $10 an hour. The only thing she was willing to discuss was exactly which hours I was going to teach, because she did not want to interfere with my learning siddurim. So I started with 3 hours bein hasiddurim. And then it grew. I gave a class at 7:30 in the morning. Later only to find out that she gave a class before me at 6:30. What was her success? What was the secret? She was great with the feminists. You know why? With all the talk of feminism and all the feminist leaders that these women got to meet, They had never seen a more powerful woman than Rebbetzin Weinberg. Fearless. She had her convictions, resolve, no compromise. What's right is right. To an extreme. Couldn't budge her. But she wasn't a feminist. I mean, look at her family. And the years of Mesiras Nefesh for her husband's learning. And she really made the statement. She opened the school, the seminary, IAT, in Kiryat Sanz. Now, this is wild. You had totally irreligious women walking into an ultra-Orthodox neighborhood. If you know Kiryat Sanz, it's two streets, two rows of buildings. And in those days, people didn't have dryers. There were clotheslines from one side of the street to the other. And there you could see, 13 pairs of underwear, 13 pairs of pajamas on each clothesline. The locals had problems. Why are you bringing pretzels to our neighborhood? She had a supporter. She rented an apartment for the school. Rav Herschel Zak, Zichron Levracha, a grandson of the Chabetz Chaim. And he told the neighbors, what are you doing to save the non-Frum? Why did she want it in Kiryat Sanz? To be close to home. The school is to be an extension of her home. This is not a university. Her 6:30 class was at home. She was more powerful than any feminist, and not at all a feminist. But she believed in the power of Jewish women. The school was called IAT, Rosh Hashanah, Isha Yiras Hashem Hi Sishalo. And that was what the school was about. Yiras Hashem. You do only what Hashem wants. Nothing else, no compromise, and the highest standards. Now, 1 second. We're dealing with women off the street. Later, in later years, they separated, they made a dual program. But initially, women that had absolutely no exposure to Judaism, often no interest in Judaism, would be brought in. So I asked her, what should I be teaching? What do you teach beginners? I'm teaching halacha. You teach them everything. You teach them everything. No compromises. No leniencies. You teach them the real thing. That's what sells. I thought it was insane. And indeed, I sort of translated the chaburis and halacha that I gave in the mirror. I translated them into English. My translations weren't really sufficient. The Rebbetzin used to pass me notes during class, speak English. And it was unbelievable. Girls started observing. It didn't make any sense to me whatsoever. The Rebbetzin maintained, a Jewish woman has a natural fear of Hashem inside. A Jewish woman wants to do the Ratzon Hashem. Give them truth. Nothing watered down. No compromise. It may take some time, but they'll catch fire. And that's what happened. I remember I was teaching a class. I thought it was hilarious. Rebbe said, teach everything. I was teaching Tefillas Kelim. The laws of Tefillas Kelim. And halachas are just, you know, when you put a... Exactly how to hold a cup when you put it in the mikveh, a glass, how you hold a glass. And it's got to be clean. And the halachas of chatzitza, well, it depends how much it's covering. Do you want it there? Do you not want it there? I wondered, you know, these women must think I'm coming from the moon. So I remember this is the class on the halachas of chatzitza in Tevilas Kelim. So one of the beginners speaks up and says, you know, the Rebbeson just finished a class on proofs of Torah min Hashamayim, of the truth of Torah Shebal Peh. I wasn't so convinced. But you know what convinced me? The laws of Tefillas Kelim. No human being in his right mind could have made this up. Again, I thought it was insane. It worked. It worked. You know, I developed a class of the philosophy of Shabbos. I thought that would sell. One woman over the years said she thinks it may have affected her keeping Shabbos. What got them to keep Shabbos was learning Hilchos Shabbos. You have a whole discussion of what is Borer and what's not Borer. Did you really turn the light on? Torah Hashem, it worked. It's wild. But it was just not, it wasn't just a matter of kiruv. What expectations could you have from women? And she used to say, women more than men, you can push them and make demands. They've got so much strength. Face it, a woman can carry a child for 9 months with all of the nausea and inconvenience. And can do this over and over again. And can have a house full of kids and work from morning to night. And still have a smile on her face. There's nothing women can't do. And she used to make demands. Some of them were getting on and they wanted to get married. No, you're not holding yet. There were rules. It was observance. It was knowledge. It was midos. You got to be ready for it. And then whom to marry. He's got to be a Talmud Chacham. He's got to love learning. If she didn't feel the guy was enough of a Talmud Chacham or had enough of a love for learning, the Rebbeson would boycott the wedding. In one case, she actually threw one of her first students out of the school. She married a great guy. But after the wedding, he was not going to spend time in Kolum. Instead, he was going to go to Kiruv immediately. She was thrown out of the school. I mean, he was a great guy. He still is. But how do we pass up such a shit? So get him to learn. Make a condition with him. You can do it. I remember there was someone who had come from in the school. She was going back. And she was really afraid she was going to meet her boyfriend again. And she was afraid that she just wouldn't be strong enough. So the Rebbeson made her take a vow. She asked me, what is the most severe vow you can take that cannot be annulled? It was a neder al das rabbin. She took a vow that if she breaks halacha with him, she will not shower for 30 days. She didn't break it. But there were stories that were just unbelievable. At the time of the dedication of this building, a lot of people came. Lots of people. Some affiliation. One of them decided to spend a week at IAT. By the time the week was over, she was fully observant. The problem was her husband was in the States and knew nothing about this. Once he got wind of what was going on, he said, "I'm coming to get you." He's going to take her back. So the Rebbetzin helped with the negotiations. They came to an agreement. She is going to be totally observant. He doesn't have to keep anything, but he must respect everything, not break any halacha in the home. The one compromise the Rebbetzin was open to, she didn't believe in wearing shaitels. She believed in real head covering that doesn't look like hair. The one compromise was when they go out with his friends, she can put on a shaitel. That was the big compromise. After a week in IAT. We had another one. There was a group of Russians. It was after the fall of the Iron Curtain. So Reb Noach had this brilliant idea. There are now lots of Russian professors, Jewish Russian professors, that are unemployed. Let's pay them to come to Israel and study Judaism and then offer them jobs of teaching Judaism in Russia. So they got a group of people that were professors there. They're really, really good people. They came with their wives. The men studied here. We had a program for them. And the women went to IAT. Well, the women grew very quickly. So I remember there was a wedding that everyone was invited to. So a yeshiva wedding, and they invited everybody around. So this one woman who became totally frum without her husband realizing it was now going to see her husband at the wedding. Here too, the Rebbetzin allowed her to get a shaitel for the wedding. He didn't know what hit him. He wasn't sure what he does believe in, what he doesn't believe in, and his wife dresses like an Orthodox Jew. Like an ultra-Orthodox Jew. These things were not uncommon. The Rebbetzin was strong, determined, uncompromising, and warm. As said, this was her family. They were part of the house. They also had an open credit card to the local makolet and can eat whatever they wanted to, whenever they wanted to. This was family. The school was never too big. That wasn't because it couldn't have been big. It had to remain a family. The ribs had to be on top of everybody and everything. But I got to tell you, although her determination, her strength was impressive to the feminists, if you really want to know what it was like, so I got to tell you a story. There was a time that Reb Noach decided to close IAT because it was too expensive. H was supporting it. The Rebbetzin was not fundraising. It was a small school, but it cost a fortune. She had a collection of the best women teachers in Yerushalayim. They had the best Ulpan teacher, the best history teacher, the best Chumash teacher, best Hashkafa teacher. It was just the collection. It was an all-star cast. And she paid for them. And there were private tutorials. The girls have to learn Hebrew. It cost a fortune. So Rav Noah said he couldn't do it anymore. So he closed the school. So the Rebbetzin sent me to negotiate on her behalf. I had never really personally met Rav Noach before. And I got blown away. He gave me the whole spiel of what he believes in. I had never heard it firsthand before. I was totally blown away. And then he makes an offer. I'm going to reopen IAT, no limitations, with one condition. You come to Aish. That's how I got here. So I was at Aish part-time, was IAT part-time. For Aish already, I had to leave Kollel first half day. And with time, I got more involved here with the students. Till it got to a point where Rav Noach said, I think it's more important that you spend your time here than you do in IAT. The Rebbetzin wouldn't hear from it. So they had a very close family relationship, a very close relationship as a family with Rav Shach. So they agreed, I'll go ask Rav Shach. So I went to Rav Shach. First thing he asked me is, Vozok Neach, what does Rav Noach say? So I told him. He said, he's right. He's right. He said, you know, they'll find someone else for IAT. You should stay at Aish full time. Fine, that was the decision. A week later, I am summoned back to Rav Shach. The Rebbetzin came. I'm no match for her. She does this all the time. I give psakim, she thinks they're too liberal. Her reasoning is so clear and uncompromising. She's so passionate. This is Rav Shach. Rav Shach, I mean, aside from his godless, he was the most passionate leader Klal Yisrael had for a while. He was outspoken. He said, I'm no match for it. Let's work out a compromise. So it's not just the feminists that were impressed. This was the strongest woman anyone had ever met. And that combination of not being a feminist, of being a mother, of being a Jewish woman the way one's supposed to, and being so powerful. That's what made the difference. That's what made her so unique. And that's why the students she made from have done so much for Klal Yisrael. She got them acquainted with their own abilities. She got them acquainted with the strength of being a Jew and a Jewish woman. And they learned from her to stop at nothing. It's the end of an era. She was one of a kind. They don't make them like that wholesale. They don't make them like that, period. I know we're going to do it for the women. But we got to learn. Yeah, you can do anything. Between Reb Noach, who didn't accept human weakness, and the Rebbetzin, who believed in the endless potential, an endless strength that the Jewish neshama has got and has the ability to filter through, between the two of them, we got to learn to be big and strong. Everything we know is right. Our relationship with Hashem, our love for His learning, our love for the Jewish people. It's got to be endless. Our passion just has to grow and grow. There's nothing we can't do if we take Hashem seriously. Reb Noach and the Rebbetzin, each in their own way. They're two different personalities. Each in their own way. Showed us that if you take Hashem seriously, there's nothing you won't be able to do. Hashem, who gave us Rebbetzin Weinberg, should give us the strength, the seichel, and help us with the Yerushalayim to do what He created us for. For us to be close to Him in everything we do and bring every Jew back to Him. Without excuses. Nothing's too big. Nothing's too difficult. Nothing's not doable. It's all Hashem anyway. It should be a Melitz Yosher for the yeshiva that she was Moser Nefesh for. And for everything we stand for. Let the days come when there won't be any more suffering, loss. Only good. The world will reach its shleimus. The name of Hashem will just shine from all of humanity and all of existence.